Hi, I'm Elodie Reed, digital producer for Vermont Public Radio. This podcast has been edited for brevity and clarity. Thanks for listening and enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We are a year into the pandemic, and while things are starting to look up in terms of vaccination, there are still a lot of people struggling to make ends meet. Both the federal government and Vermont state government have taken many steps to address food insecurity, unemployment, technology needs, and other areas where a gap exists between what people have and what they require to maintain their lives. Housing is another area where the government has stepped in. There are eviction moratoriums in place at the federal and state level. Though the federal eviction moratorium expires at the end of this month, Vermont's moratorium will stay in place for as long as the state of emergency is extended, and for 30 days after that. There are also relief funds available to support landlords who would otherwise be losing significant income when tenants can't make rent and can't be evicted. Nonetheless, many small landlords who rely on their rental income for their own stability say they're not being made whole. Today on the show, we're going to look at the picture for rental housing in Vermont. We'll talk with a tenants union, answer your questions with the Vermont State Housing Authority, and we'll hear from a national reporter for Time who can help us understand where Vermont fits into the bigger picture. But first, let's talk with Rob Perry. Rob is landlord of a small duplex in Burlington that he co-owns. Hi, Rob. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, Jane. Thanks for having me on.
Can you tell me a little bit about your situation?
Sure. So last August, my partner and I bought a duplex in the Old North End, and with the intent of renovating it, upgrading the units, and potentially using one for ourselves at some point, or for her daughter who goes to UVM. So we've been moving to renovate the upstairs unit, and we also have had some problems with our tenants paying rent. So we've used the COVID relief fund and, to get some funding from that. And, but that's run out. And now, we look at it out at not being able to actually use the property as we had intended because of the moratorium that we have. We'd like to move the other tenant out, use the property and change it. And, at this point, we're kind of stuck. So we just have to wait out the moratorium. We think we've kind of seen it be a kind of a burden on us, both financially and emotionally, as we work through this, and particularly when we see kind of no end in sight.
How is it affecting you financially?
Well, one tenant is not paying full rent, and obviously we have limited ability to get the tenant to pay rent. So, because we don't have the stick of eviction to encourage, we'll use that nice word, encourage her to actually pay the rent. And so we're covering all the other costs, right? We pay the taxes to the city of Burlington. We pay trash, we pay utilities, we pay our mortgage, and we have no income from the tenant we have.
All right. Some landlords really rely on their rental income in order to be able to just, afford their bills. Are you in a position where you could float like this for a little while longer if necessary?
Yes. This is a retirement project for me, and using my kind of diversifying my retirement to try to get income from that. So, it's not like I've read stories of so many people who are really struggling. And that's kind of my concern about the moratorium, in Vermont as well as across the country, that a lot of small landlords like me or rental property owners, are having more trouble. I certainly have the resources to float this for a while. So I'm not going to, say I don't. But
has there, Rob, there's been state policy that's put in place to help landlords like you through grant programs that utilize federal relief money to try to make landlords whole when their tenants can't pay rent. And as you mentioned, you took advantage of that program earlier on. So why is that not enough to float everybody through the pandemic until things are stabilized enough to get a little bit back to normal? Oh, we've lost. Oh, there you are. I'm glad you're back.
Yeah, it just kind of it my phone kind of clicks out once in a while. I don't know why. What was the full question?
So, you know, there have been programs, state policy in particular, that was put in place that utilized federal funds to pay landlords to try to keep them whole when tenants couldn't pay rent so that this could be a stable housing situation for people in the middle of a global health crisis and pandemic. And you mentioned that you took advantage of some of that. So why is that not enough to get us through this crisis and into more stable times?
Well, I would say two things. So one, we did take advantage of it. And the way the program works, first, there's either the tenant applies and the landlord certifies it, and you get full rent and for however many months you haven't been paid. But then you can't file for eviction into the future for the same number of months. So if the tenant again stops paying rent, you're essentially agreeing to take half the rent for some period. So that's the first thing. Half the rent, better than no rent, but still, you're sort of limited, by to that as the program has been. The program is also done, right? It ended the end of the year. It was early, kind of middle of December that it ended. And there is new money coming. That's our understanding. But it will have more requirements around the tenant having to show they can't pay the rent, and that's due to COVID-related challenges in their finances. So. And that's all fine. We would look at that. But the restriction of sort of the, if you take 3 months rent, you can't evict for 3 months further ahead, is just a constraint that doesn't seem to be reasonable. And also, when we look at the moratorium, which at this point has basically is very broad in Vermont, I think I did some research, and I think 18 states and the District of Columbia still have a moratorium in place. The rest of the states don't. And the Vermont one's very broad in that if some exceptions aren't put in place, you could have someone you can't evict who can pay the rent, but isn't paying the rent, and you can't get COVID funding, to support you as you don't get the rent. So that's why, we've been asking also that if we're going to continue the moratorium, that they look at the exceptions that make sense. So if you sell the property, if you want to use it for personal use, if you're the tenant's damaging the property and want to renovate it, or if the person who's in there can actually pay the rent but just isn't, that you can move them out. I also thought one that rents new leases entered into during the moratorium would be exempt from it because you're entering into it with an agreement and a knowledge that they can't be evicted. So there's kind of a contract with an easy way out for the tenant and no way out for the
Rob dropping out there again, but I suspect we'll get him back here as we talk with
Oh,
Rob
I'm sorry.
Perry. Yeah, there you are, back again. Rob's a landlord of a small duplex in Burlington with his partner. So, Rob, are you likely to not try to apply for this kind of grant program again?
We would apply if there aren't the same restrictions, but it's we would have to think about it. We'd rather just move on from our situation currently, continue our renovations and potentially at this point use the apartment because my partner has taken a job in Essex and we live in the Mad River Valley, so it's a long commute. So she actually would like to use the apartment
So, in
when
terms of
when she's
policy,
working.
what would you like to see happen, Rob?
I would like to see the moratorium ended entirely and kind of give property owners their ability to manage their properties effectively. But at least we need some exemptions, some clear exemptions in there for cases where you want to use the property personally, that the tenant can pay the rent but isn't paying the rent, that you could evict them. If you enter into a lease during the pandemic, during the moratorium, that person could be evicted because it's a lease with where the tenant has a way out of not paying rent and the landlord is kind of stuck with it. So, we just like to see at least some exemptions, although we would like to have it ended. We'd like to know when. What the status is of the state of emergency too. So, we're at like 25, 26% of Vermont has had at least one shot. When is the state of emergency going to end? Because that will trigger the end of the moratorium too.
Rob, I understand that from your perspective, this is something that impacts you financially, and you are a landlord. And so, in many ways, you're looking at it through the lens of a landlord who has had certain abilities and perhaps rights taken away from him for, you know, a certain amount of time. But on the other hand, we're in the midst of a global health crisis, a pandemic. And despite the fact that Vermont's unemployment technically is pretty low, there are still a lot of people who are out of work or don't have enough work or are unable to even look for work because they don't have childcare and may not be able to pay rent. And in Vermont, even pre-pandemic, we had a housing crunch. We have a difficult time for people to be able to find affordable, stable housing. So, you know, I understand that you need more flexibility and would like it. But what about from the renter's perspective of people who say, I can't afford to be evicted in the middle of a pandemic when I don't have a job lined up?
Well, I certainly have sympathy for that. And it is a problem. But it's also, you know, it's not fair to put all that burden on the landlords. You know, it's not.
But isn't that what the money has been for, to try to bridge that gap?
Yes, the money has helped, and we took the money for that reason. But, you know, on going into the future, at some point we have to change. We have to get back to where we have our rights. And also, when you look at the general restrictions on property owners that we see, and the costs associated with owning and renting a property, you know, that's certainly a factor in why there is a shortage of housing, right? I mean, there's many reasons in that. It's a complicated topic, but providing housing is expensive, and you should want to encourage, you know, investors to make houses available, not discourage them from restriction and, you know, kind of the challenges to their own personal use and making decisions about their property themselves.
Well, Rob, I really appreciate you talking with us today and sharing a little bit about your situation. Good luck, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jane.
Rob Perry co-owns a small duplex that he rents out in Burlington. And let's turn now to Christy Delfia, who represents the Burlington Tenants Union as their outreach delegate. Christy, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Love to be on this show.
Good. Well, we're really pleased to have you with us. And I'd love to know, you know, what you're hearing from tenants. I know you were listening to what we were talking about with Rob and his experience as a landlord. What are you hearing from tenants that you represent in Burlington about what their experience has been like trying to navigate a pandemic as a renter?
Total fear.
Total fear?
Total fear. They are absolutely petrified of losing their housing during this pandemic. There are quite a few of our tenants that are still out of work because their jobs are obviously in the fields where they have to be dealing with the general public, whether it be at a retail store or restaurant, and those are not available to them right now. The programs that are out there, one has ended. Some of them were so overloaded that they were ignored or not contacted for the rent relief programs and are caught in the middle of all of this, getting notifications from their landlords stating that a landlord has now filed an eviction in court against them. And a couple of the for-profit landlords in Burlington have chosen to take the way of literally trying to forcibly remove their tenants from their apartments before even getting the chance to go to court to legally evict them.
To illegally evict them?
Yes. Some tenants are facing right now, during this pandemic, having to report some of the bigger landlords for code violations in their apartments. So they're dealing with that on top of this pandemic.
Right, because just to break in here, Christy, because one of the things about the eviction moratorium is that it's designed to put a moratorium on evictions for non-payment of rent, but there are certain other reasons why a landlord would be able to evict a tenant. And what you're saying is specifically these for-profit landlords in particular are using code violations or other reasons to try to get their tenants who are not paying rent out.
Correct. The moratorium does not mean an eviction cannot be filed with the court. They can still file the evictions to the courts. The courts just are not acting on them right now because it would cause a public health
issue. Right. I mean, that's what we heard from Vermont Legal Aid, who's not going to be on the program, but who gave us some information on background and said, you know, all eviction cases have been paused. They can be filed, and courts will entertain dismissals, but there have been very few exceptions to the moratorium. But from what I'm hearing from you, Christy, there's still fear, that fear of instability, the fear that they could be evicted, and uncertainty about what happens once the moratorium is lifted, for sure.
Absolutely. They are absolutely terrified of losing their housing. The housing market in Burlington right now is so tight that we will literally be putting people out on the street when this moratorium ends. But as far as we have been told by the state, these moratoriums are not going to be lifted until this pandemic has been cleared, because of the sheer fact that it will create a very serious public health risk.
Yeah, and the state's eviction moratorium is at this point likely to extend past the federal moratorium, which ends at the end of this month. The state moratorium goes on for as long as the state is operating under a state of emergency, and then for 30 days after that. But what do you think will happen to tenants after that if they still can't pay their rent? You know, the health crisis may have ended, but the economic crisis may have a longer tail.
We are doing our best at the tenants union to force bills to continue with stimulus payments so that our renters, can remain in their homes and help them pay their rent and their bills after this, because we all know that the stimulus payments that are coming out right now are not going to be enough on our end either, for making sure that people can stay in their homes. The tenants union has what we have learned from other tenants unions across this country called eviction defense, where we will go to tenants' apartments and keep landlords from trying to forcibly remove their tenants from their housing.
When you say that, what do you mean? You would literally physically go to a tenant's apartment to prevent them from being evicted?
Yes, because the landlords are now trying to use the Burlington Police Department to force tenants out of their housing, where that is totally illegal. The only one that can actually physically remove you from an apartment is the sheriff's department. But some of the for-profit landlords are threatening to use the Burlington Police Department to forcibly remove tenants from their housing. So eviction defense for a tenants union is a group of tenants that are trained in different aspects, from social media to conflict resolution, that in a group goes to a tenant's apartment to prevent them from being forcibly removed from their apartment illegally by some of these landlords.
Christy, I hadn't heard about that with the Burlington Police Department, so we haven't reached out to them, and we'll follow up after the show to see if they have any comments. But are you hearing that the Burlington Police Department is actually going to tenants' apartments and working to try to get them evicted?
We have one group of tenants that was telling us that the landlord that they were dealing with was informing them through letters that they were being charged $50 apiece for, that this landlord would use the Burlington Police Department to forcibly remove tenants from their apartments.
But as far as you know, you haven't heard of any police officers actually doing that?
Not yet, no.
So, you know, Christy, you mentioned, you've specifically said a couple of times, for-profit landlords. Do you see a distinction between, you know, large property management companies that own many properties and use this rental income as a different kind of business from smaller landlords like Rob Perry, you know, people who have one or two apartments or buildings that they rent out? Do you see a distinction between the types of landlords, and maybe a distinction in how policy should follow that as well?
Yes, we do. The for-profit landlords are the ones that we are targeting with all of this housing reform we just passed, just caused evictions in the city of Burlington on town hall meeting day, which the Burlington Tenants Union was a big proponent of in getting passed, and the small landlords. the rooms with the most code violations is what just caused eviction targets. The smaller landlords do have protections under just cause evictions. And existing tenant right laws also protect mostly the smaller landlords. They are still allowed to evict tenants for just cause reasons. Just cause reasons being non-payment of rent, violation of their leases, destruction to the landlord's property, and violating a state law or city ordinance. And landlords, there are still existing rights laws in the state of Vermont that protect the small landlord and still give them the ability to evict their tenants.
But Christy, as we heard from Vermont Legal Aid, it sounds like all eviction cases have been paused and there are very, very few exceptions to the moratorium, given the fact that, you know, evictions aren't moving through the court system right now.
Correct. I believe the most evasive of ones would be something that violates a federal law, like making and selling drugs. That would be a major violation that a landlord could, you know, potentially get that waiver for and have their case move forward with an eviction, because those are pretty evasive issues.
So just put a fine point on it, Christy, about what you'd like to see happen in terms of state policy as we move, we hope, out of a state of emergency later this spring and into whatever the next phase is, which, as I said, you know, may be a decrease in the sort of public health crisis, but there's still a lot of uncertainty about how long it will take to have job stability come back, income stability, and certainly that affects renters. So what do you want to have happen in terms of state policy that you think could protect tenants, but then also protect landlords? Because it's ultimately not a good thing for landlords to get squeezed. I mean, I can imagine a few scenarios like, you know, where a small landlord says, this is untenable, and sells to a larger property management company, or is putting off needed repairs or improvements, or does then need or want to evict a tenant. So what would you like to see happen?
Well, as the last, I've been a renter for 37 years in the city of Burlington, and we have noticed a very large amount of change not to the good. And a good portion of it is the property tax situation in the city of Burlington affecting everyone. So the only way that we're going to come through this is for this state to back off on the amount of property tax that these owners in Burlington are facing, because that ultimately, you know, rolls downhill and affects how much tenants in the city of Burlington are paying for rent. It is not the total reason, but it is a very good reason and cause for some of these rents being as high as they are. The other factor is the city itself allows these landlords to charge whatever they want for rents. And that is a little out of control. So at the government level, what needs to happen is they need to figure out how we are going to drop the taxes in the state of Vermont as a whole, and figure out how to put in bills to the federal government to be able to get more money into the state to give the relief that's necessary on both parties for this to happen. And part of that, for the landlord's perspective, we have been hearing is the banks need to back off on some of these property taxes and give property owners better relief. That in turn gives tenants more relief, as the rents would then go down and make it easier for us to be able to pay the rent that these landlords are asking for. So this affects everybody.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I appreciate you saying that at the end here, because, you know, as we think about this, this is not just a situation for landlords, not just a situation for tenants. It certainly is something that affects the whole state and our stability moving forward. And as Christy points out, not just state and federal policy, but in many cases, municipal policy plays a role here as well. Christy Delfia is the outreach delegate for the Burlington Tenants Union. Christy, thank you so much for talking with us today.
You're very welcome, and thank you very much for the chance to give our section of information to the public.
Today, we're exploring the situation for renters and landlords a year into the pandemic. We heard from a landlord who rents one property in Burlington and who feels like the policies that have been put in place to protect tenants and keep landlords afloat just aren't working for him. And from a Burlington Tenants Union representative who says tenants are living in fear. What about you? How do you fit into this discussion? We'd love to hear about your experiences, and now is also the time to get questions that you might have about state policy answered. Our number is 800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can send a tweet to @VermontEdition. We're joined by Executive Director of the Vermont State Housing Authority now, Richard Williams. Richard, thank you for talking with us.
Hi, Jane. It's good to be on Vermont Edition.
You know, it's interesting. We've heard from a landlord who says, I feel like I'm being squeezed. My rights are taken away. I'm not even sure I'm going to be a landlord after this. And then from, as I mentioned, the Burlington Tenants Union representative who says tenants are living in fear. They have abject fear about what's going to happen to them now or in the future. I mean, my goodness, that doesn't sound like a good situation for anybody. What are you hearing at the State Housing Authority?
Well, Jane, you know, it's been a difficult year. You know, who would have thought we'd had a pandemic to add to our affordable housing issues in Vermont? So it's been a tough year, not only for landlords, but renters too. And but there has been some bright side to it. There has been some federal money appropriated that have helped landlords with renters that are unable to pay their rent. So we've been fortunate to have programs to assist low-income families. So, but it is concerning. It is concerning. There is a lack of affordable housing here in the state of Vermont, and this is only adding to it.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, it sounds like, in a way, what you're saying, and not to put words in your mouth, but it's better than it could have been if there had been no money, but it's still a bad situation for many people.
Agreed. You know, there's actually been three tranches of money that's come into the state of Vermont for COVID relief for emergency rental assistance. It started in 2020 with the CARES Relief Fund. Vermont, as you know, received $1.25 billion. Vermont State Housing Authority received $22 million under that appropriation. And that program ended on December 11th, and we still had 1,500 applications in the queue, adding up to $2.8 million. So we went back to the legislature in early January, worked with the various legislative housing committees, got their support, got the governor's support, and through the Budget Adjustment Act, we received another additional $2.8 million. Good news, the money showed up in our bank today. Those checks are going to be going out to those landlords by Wednesday of this week. So that will help a little bit, you know, for those that were delinquent in December. The other good news is the Consolidated Act passed in December 27th, and Vermont received $200 million for what they call the Emergency Rental Assistance Program. Of that, Vermont State Housing Authority is going to receive $110 million. Vermont State Housing Authority Board of Commissioners selected a vendor last Friday. We're in negotiations with them to set up a portal. We're hoping in the first or second week in April we can start taking applications and to get that money out the door. You know, it's the short time frame to get it out. If we need to spend 65% of it by the end of September, and if we do, we can go back and potentially get some more money. The American Rescue Plan was passed on March 11th of this year. As everybody's talked about, there's $1.9 trillion was in that rescue plan. There is housing assistance in there. The bill set aside billions of dollars in financial aid to homeowners and renters. Nationwide, $22 billion for emergency rental assistance. Vermont's going to get $152 million out of that. So, and there's more flexibility with this money than there was on the Consolidated Act passed back in December.
So, Richard, let's run through a couple of questions if we can quickly. We've got just a couple minutes left with you. But Zach wrote in to say, in previous years, my landlord has issued a landlord certificate / renter's rebate to me and my fellow tenants. This year, he's not doing that and hasn't given us a reason. Is he required to give us a renter's rebate by law?
Yes, there is. But this any monies that were appropriated or paid through Vermont State Housing Authority does not qualify under that program.
I see. So
because the tenant didn't pay the money.
Ah, so any landlord who's been getting money through this program rather than through the tenant, they don't have to give the tenant the renter's rebate for the money that they were paid out by these federal programs.
Yeah, there's
state programs.
If people want to go to vsha.org, there's specific information on there for landlords on how to file their LC, I think it's 142 form.
And Julie Marks, who's the founder of Vermont Short-Term Rental Alliance, is calling in. Julie, very quickly, what's your question?
Hi, Jane. Thanks for taking my call. It's more of a comment. I want to support Christie's claim that Burlington has been really making it difficult for landlords, especially small landlords, to keep their tenants' rent stable and affordable. And we've heard testimony over the past year and more from landlords saying that they've started to turn to short-term renting as a means to offset some of the increasing costs, such as property taxes, so that they can keep their long-term tenants' rents stable. And now Burlington is moving towards restricting landlords from being able to short-term rent, which, to Christie's point, is just going to make it harder for landlords to afford their properties, and tenants are going to feel that trickle-down effect with increased rents if short-term rentals are not permitted to exist in Burlington. And then I guess my question would be about my concern with the enforcement issue. Why are complaints being submitted that properties, buildings are in violation of housing standards, and nothing seems to be being done. That's very concerning to me.
Well, Julie, thanks for your question and call. Richard, very quickly, what are your thoughts on that?
It's a challenge. Obviously, we're living in a situation that we've never lived in before, and there's such a need for affordable housing, and we need all landlords too. We need the landlords to participate in our program. I'm just hoping that we can find ways with using this new money to help the landlords, make improvements to their apartments. And we know there's code violations, in many units around the state. Hopefully, we can find programs to assist those landlords to get those units back available. Many of them are vacant, or many of them landlords just don't have the money to turn over the units. So the goal would be is to get the money into the landlords' pockets as soon as we can to help them, and obviously the outcome is more affordable housing, low income renters. There's 76,000 renters in the state of Vermont.
Yeah, well, boy, lots to chew over there, and certainly more to cover as we move through this. Richard Williams is executive director of the Vermont State Housing Authority. Richard, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jane.
And before we move on from this topic, let's situate what we know about Vermont in the broader national picture. Abby Vasulis is a political reporter at Time and has been reporting on the national housing crisis for the last year. Abby, thank you so much for taking the time to join us and to listen in to this conversation about Vermont housing today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Jane. What is happening in Vermont is definitely happening all across the country. I traveled a couple months ago to Seattle, Washington, to interview a sweet landlord who owns one rental property, and her tenant, who had fallen behind on rent by a full year and more than $25,000. They're both in a bad spot. The landlord can't float her tenant indefinitely on a single salary while paying two mortgages. But she didn't want to evict her tenant because she knew that would mean that he would become homeless. So the tenant is suffering from health complications that makes working in-person jobs risky during the pandemic. And so far, the government solutions to both of their problems are less than ideal.
If landlords are in trouble, does that ultimately spell trouble for renters?
Absolutely, especially as it applies to small landlords, because, they're often, I think the statistic is that almost half of the nearly 49 million rental units in the United States are owned by individuals rather than big corporate entities that have lots of money in the bank to get through harder times. And so these landlords who are under pressure and, you know, paying multiple mortgages on both their home that they live in and the tenant's home that they rent out. When they don't have rental payments coming in, they're not being able to afford their expenses like healthcare and property taxes and things like that. And so I've talked to a lot of small landlords who feel like they have no other choice but to leave the rental market altogether. And what will be left if all these small landlords leave is a lot of expensive high rises and bigger properties that have all the high-end amenities that lots of people can't afford and don't need.
Well, and here in Vermont, there's been such a rental housing crunch and an affordable housing crunch more broadly that, you know, especially in cities like Burlington, if we have small landlords like Rob Perry getting out of the market, getting out of the rental market, that creates an even bigger crunch for renters moving forward. But I'm also curious, Abby, you know, we know that there is money coming through in the just recently passed federal relief package, and there's also an extension of unemployment benefits into the fall. But, you know, nationally, when the moratorium expires at the end of this month, there's that big sort of opening and gaping chasm for renters who may not be able to fully cover their rent, but who are not protected by an eviction moratorium. Do you expect there to be a housing catastrophe, or is there enough money to float everybody through this in a more stable way?
I think there is a good sum of money. I was, pleased to hear that the latest rental relief package includes $20 billion in emergency rental assistance. And this, of course, comes after $25 billion that was appropriated back in December through the last relief package. But the issue is more about the distribution of these funds. Many of the state and local governments that distribute the funds to landlords and tenants have been confused on what mandated steps they needed to take in order to distribute the money. Things like a renter proving that they actually did lose income during the pandemic. And then, of course, giving the landlord the option to receive this money, which came with restraints in some cases. Like I know in some of the cities that I was reporting on that landlords had to agree to accept like 80% of the back rent. So they had to agree to accept less than they were actually owed. And this led to the Biden administration to make some changes in what needed to happen for the states and local governments to distribute the rental funds. So now renters can do things like self-attest that they met eligibility criteria rather than having to prove their eligibility through lots of documentation that they don't have. Also, landlords now have to respond within 10 days saying they're willing to accept the back rent through the program rather than 21 days. But these changes took time, and a lot of cities kind of stalled on distributing funds until they knew exactly what was going on. And this meant that in most cases, the states haven't started distributing the money that was approved in December. And so with the eviction moratorium coming up on its expiration date, I'm a little concerned that the states and cities won't be able to get out all the money to the landlords and tenants in time. And landlords are getting pretty eager to evict since they've been holding on for so long. So I'm worried that they won't be able to get the money out in time, and some tenants will be evicted and not benefit from the program.
Abby Vasulis is a political reporter at Time and has been reporting on the national housing crisis for the last year. We'll have a link to her reporting on our webpage at vpr.org. Abby, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.